This is RSBNB Update, episode 497. RuneScape Year in Review 2014. Hello, everybody. This is RSBNB Update. Welcome to the Year in Review 2014, a rundown of what is or was popular and useful in 2014. Joining us this week, as always, is Trekkie.
Hey, y'all. It's me.
All right. So we're going to talk about the updates of 2014, what we thought was good, what we thought was very important, and what could have ultimately used some improvements. And, of course, we're going to end this show off with a very special goodbye to all of you for the Christmas season. So with that being said, let's just dive straight in, shall we?
Okay, let's get started.
First up, we ought to look at where we came from in the start of 2014. So I think it goes without saying that 2013 and throughout most of 2012 was a pretty controversial year when it comes to RuneScape for various reasons, two of which then immediately jump out at me and probably the update listeners, if you guys have been listening to the show for that long, are the release of Old School and the evolution of combat, mainly because Old School was seen as a quick knee-jerk solution to the problems of the current game in an effort to pacify and give the players something to play rather than quitting RuneScape. Also, of course, the evolution of combat remained controversial because up until this year, you had to manually select which abilities to use, and there were still some holes that players did think that did not belong there. 2013 also saw the dawn of the Sixth Age with the death of Guthix and the introduction of player-wide world events. Zamorak was defeated. Armadil and Bandos took up arms in what was known as Bird versus Beast. We called the Big Bird on the show, didn't we?
Big Bird. Yes, I remember Big Bird.
And that's how we ended 2013. Then 2014 ultimately began with the closing up of Bird versus Beast and the death of Bandos, which is something that was unprecedented up until the death of Guthix in-game. And Bandos himself was kind of a lesser-known entity up until that point. So it was a very interesting way for the story to go, and some nice power flew into Armadil's hands. Or I guess birds don't have hands, but wings. Anyways, 2014 also brought massive changes early on, but updates took a glacial pace for the first half of the year or so. Massive change that we're talking about is, of course, power to the players. We had doubt about power to the players and how effective it would be, right?
Yeah, and for some things, it kind of proved the point.
Yeah, but some things it worked quite well. So all in all, the year slowly gained momentum, and I think has culminated in so far what has been the greatest year ever for RuneScape. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. So, obviously we said 2014 started off big with a big update, something that had never been done before, and that was power to the player. So let's just get that out of the way right now. What is probably the elephant in the room. This update came out in January. It brought a polling system into the game for the first time that basically ensured there would be updates coming out that would be guaranteed content by way of the players. I certainly did not think this was a great idea when it came out. What was your initial reaction of power to the players?
I'm going to get a bunch of 12-year-olds that's going to want something really stupid, and more than once, I've been proven right.
Okay. And though, you know, I felt the same way too on this. And ultimately, when it came down to it, I think that power to the players was moderated in such a way that the updates were not as game-breaking as they could have been. There were definitely some updates that come to mind that should not have been pulled, in my view. And some are for actual reasons, others are for just pure personal reasons and thinking this is a decision that Jagex ought to be making on their own. So if you could go back and ask, power to the players or not, would you bring that in? With the caveat that without power to the players, we might not have seen the release of the Elf City.
Oh, no, we would have gotten the Elf City, no doubt about it. Because they kind of promised last year during RuneFest that, yes, we are going to release it with a quest and something very nice. Even without power to the player, it may have taken them a little bit longer, but they would have gotten it out one way or another.
Okay. Now, what are some polls that jump into your mind about, you know, that, oh, these should never have been pulled, this was a horrible idea, that sort of thing?
What was the one thing that was supposed to be for Iron Man but got completely canned? You remember that one?
No, I don't. I don't exactly.
What was it, Milestone, I think it was? It was the one where everybody was like, you have the chance of restarting, and you can get up to kind of like a 120
thing. Oh, that was Prestige Mode before that even came out. That wasn't pulled in Power to the Players. Though I think if that was put to Power to the Players, it would have actually worked. But anyways, one of the pulls that jumps out at me that should not have been pulled was the release of holiday items for loyalty points. And the ETA on this update was July. 59% voted yes, and 41% voted no in this update. And there would have been updates, you know, such as the yo-yo, the scarves from 2006, that sort of thing, that would have appeared in these. There are people who wanted these, and with 59% voting yes, and this poll just disappearing, that was, in my view, I think it was a course reversal on Jagex's part that, like, oh no, we're not going to do this. This would be very bad. So, you know, I think that the Jagex wisdom kind of won out over the polls on that one, which is good.
There are some of the power to the player voting thing is kind of, one of them was always the, how was the update that was released on, you know, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
That's really way too early. And they kind of say like, oh, we should take a look, get some feedback, but like, if no one's really tried it, it doesn't really give people time to try it out in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, in the second half of the year, that's practically what all the polls were. If you look at the list for 2014, you say reaction survey, reaction survey, reaction survey, times 10, all the way down this list here. So, you know, it does make sense that, you know, these sort of things should not be polled as quickly, and maybe there should be another kind of metric used for that. Another one that jumps out of my mind, something that should not have been pulled that did end up getting pulled and ultimately put into the game, was the decision to change back to a 138 combat level.
Yeah, I remember that.
What did you think on that?
I can't remember what I voted on. I'm sure someone will go back and remind me what I voted on. But I think I wanted to stay with 200.
Yeah, I definitely voted for 200 as well, just because, you know, it's so much simpler than 138 to calculate. You can calculate it in your head. And ultimately, there were ways, I think, to show whether you were melee-based, magic-based, or, you know, ranged-based. Though people did want their summoning, prayer, and whatnot to have a valid part in combat, so I guess that's why we're here. But nonetheless, that's definitely one of them. Then, of course, you have updates that did come around and, you know, didn't exactly turn out well, but we'll talk about that later. Two of them spring to mind and maybe fall to mind if you get where I'm going, but we'll save those for later. Let's see. Other things that turned out to be decent in Power to the Players? I don't
power
know.
To the player?
Overall, it was okay. It definitely provided us lots of fun discussion, I will say that. But as to whether or not the game's better off on this course, I don't know. I'm still on the fence about this.
Some things are okay to get a reaction, but a lot of the what is it, the dragon one, where whatever we vote on does have immediate effect. Some things I think it's better if Jackass kind of decides what they want to do instead of what do we do.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really what should have, you know, there's really no reason for us to want so many little things that I think they can just do. I mean, if it's like, if it was like, you know, minor updates that, you know, wondering if you guys want to change this or change that, then yeah, I can see that being voted on. But for like quest and big update, I think Jackass should remain and decide what they want to do.
Yeah, and, you know, to a large degree, they did do that. They did determine the direction for a couple of quests, which was kind of odd. I think that should be left in Jagex's hands, like you. But, you know, most of the major decisions were made by them, so I do give them credit for that. And one final note on the polling system for me is, should Legacy have been polled?
Legacy is useless.
Okay, but shouldn't have been polled. We'll talk about Legacy and its merits after.
No, it should not have been polled. They kind of did it to satisfy the hate mongerers who, quite frankly, if they had waited another month, they would have forgotten all about it. They leave. Okay, fine.
You know, speaking from a sense of reason, I kind of think that Legacy mode would have come out even without a poll.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my gut feeling on that, but of course we'll never know.
Okay.
All right, so that's power to the players, or player power as it's called, and we're going to be in for a whole new league of game suggestions and polled updates with the Rune Labs system coming out next year, so we'll definitely have to see what happens with that. Anyways, I am finished with the power to the players. How about you?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we're going to talk about some of the Keystone updates of 2014, updates that we thought really set the direction of RS for a whole as a part of 2014. And if you remove these updates from the game, RS would not be what it is now, and it would not have contributed to the greatness of 2014. So the first update on this list is something that you and I waited for so long. And when it came out, it was the brightest day ever of our RuneScape career. And that was the release of Priftiness.
Mm-hmm.
I still cannot put into words how amazing...
happy we are.
Amazed and happy we are with this update. Every time I walk through this city, it's still an update that amazes me in some way. And I am just so grateful that this update made it into game this year. You know, it was sitting there on the map forever, this huge area of, you know, just nothingness, and it kind of became like a running joke as, oh, what will happen first? Will we finish the podcast first, or will Jagex finish the Elf City first? And lo and behold, the Elf City was finished first.
Or would you and I retire from RS altogether?
Yeah, and then have to come back and do a special, you know, Elf City version of it where we bring everything back together. But no, we didn't need to do that. You know, this update's changed so many things. It's changed the way skills are trained at a high level, you know, from the Saren rocks all the way to the extra farming patches I have to do, high level agility, extra boss slayer, whole bunch of lore associated with it. You know, just everything changed with this update, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I might be overstating that, but I don't think I am. Mainly, you know, because every corner of the city, there's something to do. I mean, for a long time when the first half was out, you could go there and you could thieve, and you could make 700K an hour or more just by using your skills, which was a rarity. And, you know, it has been nerfed down a bit, but still, it's a decent way of making money for skilling. Going clockwise, I mean, you can get more battle staves there. There's an extra herb patch, a bush patch. We can grow elder trees now. There's another wood tree. There's the fruit tree patch, the harmony moss pillars. Dungeoneering. Yeah. You didn't know there was a fruit tree patch up north?
There is?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes,
up north. No, seriously, I did not know that.
Yes, right. right north of the Dungeoneering Resource Dungeon.
Well, that makes sense. I never really go up that path anyway.
Yeah, so that's... and then AFK Way of Training Prayer, the Agility Course, in which you maybe get a rare reward, including a Crystal Tree Seed, Divination Through Combat, another place to do summoning that's relatively close to the bank. Crystal Flask, my most favorite part of this update, in addition to the farming stuff. I can combine my overloads and anti-fires now. The ability to finally make crystal weapons at level 80 and 75 for the attuned and non-attuned versions, respectively. So there's just so much in this update that came out. And, you know, in addition to it, there was the lore, and it really just filled in a hole for those of us who have been playing for so long and wanted to see something like this come into game.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, it also set the theme of RuneFest and, you know, elves and the whole tower of voices they had there. So really, really a great update this year. And to me, this is the most important and the biggest, the best, and probably the best update ever to RuneScape, in my view.
All right. I'm very happy to also have the Elf City come out and finally wrap up the quest line with the plague, with Plague's End. You know, we all kind of had, you know, like I said, we had a little running joke going through on a forum where, you think we'll actually get it done? Why are we still playing? I think we're just waiting for this thing to come out. And it finally came out. Now we're like, Shane, what do we do now?
Yeah, that is definitely what it feels like even today. But we continue to cover the updates, blaze trails, and, you know, set the standard for what is good and what is not on RS. What do you think of the Elf City? How has it changed things for you?
The Elf City. Honestly, I need to explore that place a bit more than... the issue is that I went like, there's a harp here. Let me try what this thing does. I'm not getting anything. Hey, guys, what's the harp thing for at Elf City? Oh, that's for crafting experience. That's, I already got 99 crafting. I don't need that. Oh, let's do some Slayers. Let's do the Slayer dungeon thing. Like, oh, I already got 99 Slayer. I can't really use that right now. Oh, let me go do some mining. Now I'm bored. Let me go. So for me, I'm using it more as a hub for me to get to places because everything's all nearby. I got the glider. I got the whole bunch of teleport portals. I have a whole bunch I got the grand tree to get around. I use that more of a teleportation hub. All I need now is a good fairy ring location.
There is one there.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you up north?
No, actually on the west, north of the Ethel.
Because I need to explore that place more. I just haven't had the time to really explore it.
Okay. So obviously Priftina's big role in the scheme of things in 2014, and you know, I'm not gonna go into what each area can do. You can go back to a previous podcast to listen about that. But anyways, Priftina's top update of 2014, my favorite, best update of the year, and definitely the best update ever in RS for me. Except maybe the release of the farming skill. All right, so let's talk about how we got to the Elf City, how we got to Priftina's, and that was the release of Plague's End. You know, Plague's End really did not get as much positive appeal or positive critical appeal, in my view, as it should have from the RS community. And, you know, I think the reason for that is that Plague's End was an old style of quest that, you know, people had kind of maybe moved away from, and that they forgot what the Elf quest line was actually about. And the Elf quest line was always about each quest having one little thing with a little bit of combat, a puzzle, and solving something. So it's not as though we're, you know, expecting Ritual of the Majorat or Fate of the Gods or something like that in Plague's End. Plague's End was designed to be simple, and that's all there was about it. The biggest revelation that came from Plague's End was that the Dark Lord was actually the bad part of Saren, which was really poetic because basically what had happened is that Saren had banished or cast out the negative aspects of her own self. And these negative aspects became the Dark Lord, And it set up a whole dialogue that everybody has a bad part to them, and that's what the Dark Lord can be.
Mm-hmm.
So that ultimately is what we were forced to fight against, the Dark Lord, you know, of course, tied with the Ireworth, and we also in this quest had to revive or at least awaken the former eight elven clan leaders. And I think that was the funnest part of the quest for me, awakening the clan leaders, because, well, you get to go around the elven lands, Tyranan, and wake them up by doing various things that we would have encountered before, using your skills. And ultimately, that was very good. Lord Amlod was the summoning one. You had to summon the Amlod charm creature. Lord Cruis was the tree hidden in the woodlands. Lady Heffin was hidden on the Poison Waste Islands, just waiting and hoping time would eventually bring someone to free her. Lady Ithil was put into pieces in Laledia. Lady Melier was in a specific dungeoneering herb lore recipe that you had to make and then drink the potion, and Lady Melier appeared.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, I'm sorry. Once you did this, you basically had to make the potion and then use this on the main hall and then go through the portal inside that dungeon. Sorry, there was more to it. Lady Treherne, Rune Bar, basically in the Well of Voyage, there was a little hidden compartment where you had to find the icon of Treherne, and then finally confront with the Dark Lord, and off we go. We have the eight elven clan leaders ready to do battle and cast out the Dark Lord. And that's a bit of a rundown as to what Plague Zen was about. And really, it, in my view, set up nicely, you know, and having all the clans united again. And at the end of the day, allowing the Crystal City to be regrown. But of course, we can't forget that we did deal with the uprising in Ardoin and, you know, revealed everything that was going on there. So that was nice to finally put that away.
Okay. Sweet.
And of course, we can't forget the patriotic music of the RS theme starting to play once we went in there, kicked down the door, and started killing everyone. Because, you know, you got to have a quest where you can kick down the door, right? So that was another favorite part of this quest. And even though it seems as though people, you know, overlooked this quest and whatnot, I think that this quest deserves more credit than it got.
Okay. Let's see. My Fate of the Gods, right?
Well, no. Plague's End. What do you think of Plague's End?
Sorry, I had a plane coming through. Okay, Plague's End. What I like about Plague's End. I'm just happy finally to wrap all the storyline. Although, the only thing that really ticked me off is King Tyrus is dead.
Well, you could have banished him rather than killing him.
No. The one that we killed many years ago at the camp.
Oh, right.
And, oh, well, I guess too late for spoiler alert, isn't it? But anyway, yeah. Well, you're listening to this one anyway, you kind of know we're going to spoil it. Anyway, a couple of years ago when we bombed King Tyrus's camp, we all had a little, at least some of us had a sense that he may have been still alive, that he was in another spot or something, and he wasn't in that particular tent when we bombed it, but apparently, yeah, he was in there, he did. I was like, damn. I just had a little sense of hoping that he would come back alive and or remained alive and then take over King Ardoinye and rule as the rightful king. I banished the king from Ardoinye never to return, but he ends up dying anyway because of just how the quest is. The monsters killed the giant elven monster captured him and killed him and consumed his essence.
Yeah, and let's also not forget that all of West Ardoin was going to be used as a ritual sacrifice to appease the Dark Lord.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I remember that. You know, it's sad, but you can tell how it's they hired the same contractors for West Ardonia as they did with Edgeville. Because even after we said, well, we shall rebuild, and West Ardonia, it looks like a shamble hut, and Edgeville still looks like it was burnt. I'm like, come on, it's already been a year.
Yeah, yeah, entirely true.
Let's see, USB. Sorry.
Oh, okay, yeah. And ultimately, Plague's End, important. And to me, it's the second most important update of the year, because without it, you cannot have thriftiness. So people do need to give Plague's End a bit more credit than it's worth, I think.
I enjoyed the quest. I liked it. It was
nice. Yeah.
It was a bit of a, little dialogue heavy, but it's kind of standard for a quest of this magnitude. And I guess it's one of those things that, power to the player thing was kind of like really stupid in a way, because considering the fact they asked everybody you realize only a certain number of people are going to be going in it in the first place. Not everybody has done regicide and everything else. So
as in skills that would be involved, right?
Yeah, you're right. And I thought that polling everybody was just really stupid. And yeah, that's just me.
Alrighty. Well, I do have to say that Plague's End did, bring this thing to a close, and it was a great adventure. And, if RuneScape could be summarized as one thing prior to this year, it would be the Plague City storyline moving all the way to Plague's End. Such a great arc. And, if RuneScape had one quest line, it would have to be this, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Fate of the Gods.
One died, one is hurt, one is Supreme Overlord, one of them tried to, all the gods are now fighting each other, and I'm with Anubis.
And let's also not forget what happened in Fate of the Gods, shall we?
Okay, go for it.
Zaros appears.
Right.
All
right.
So this is the final Keystone update of 2014, in that without this, we would know significantly less lore-wise than we do now. We got to move through the World Gate in Fate of the Gods. The World Gate is the thing that Guthix did use to bring creatures to Gilinor. So the World Gate is an impressive artifact in itself. So just the very fact we're allowed to use that and have access to it, that's great. Upon using the World Gate, we made our way through it, and we ended up at Freniske, which is an ancient charred world filled with lightning and anomalies and lots of dangerous things. We had to make our way through that world, discovering lore crystals and whatnot along the way if we wanted to, avoiding agility hazards, lava, lightning, you name it. And going through this, we did ultimately make our way to the end and discovered, lo and behold, Zaros. Now, here's why this quest is important. Without this quest, we would not know that Zaros is essentially the string puller, and that he doesn't have anything evil in mind per se. He just has a certain outcome that he wants reached, and he's willing to, do what he does in order to achieve that, which we knew about him before. But this quest really brings Zaros onto the side that, he's not necessarily a bad person or a bad god in any way. And I think this was kind of the controversial thing about this update, in that people wanted to dislike Zaros. There were people who liked Zaros, like me. I think I was one of the original Zaros followers, because I did Desert Treasure on the day it came out, and I was well aware of him before that. So I was essentially the Zaros follower before it was cool to do so. I just want to put that out there right now.
Okay.
But ultimately, the biggest criticism for this quest is that people were not able to dislike Zaros if they didn't want to. The idea was felt is that, Zaros is good and we are going to follow this and allow him to maybe touch us, so to speak. You can do that in a way to, allow him to inhabit yourself so you can use his spells without cost. And, that definitely does help in the quest, but that's as far as you can get away from Zaros in this quest, is saying, no, don't come into me. So, ultimately, I think that, yes, that was kind of controversial. But at the end of the day, we learned so much for this. We learned that we were actually dealing with an elder god. We dealt with Ma, one of the elder gods, which, with the name Ma, kind of like mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
We also learned about the relationship between Zaros and Saren, and that they're kind of like brother and sister, right?
Okay.
And ultimately, when it came down to it, there was nothing to worry about in terms of this. Just know that Zaros is back, and, well, things are going to start happening eventually, and it really set up the god storyline to take some very interesting directions in the next year, I think.
Okay. I don't know. I'm still waiting for the time when I can really show up, you know, really dive into my power. I'm the world guardian, and I want to be able to do what I'm supposed to do. And I want to remake Glenanor into my own image. Wait till everyone kills each other, go out, finish off do the finishing blow, become Supreme Overlord, and then rule Glenanor with an iron fist.
I don't know about that.
Why not?
No,
I don't want to be known as the adventurer. I want to be known as the Lord. Me Lord.
Okay. Yes, we know that.
I'm still waiting for that title to actually come out so I can buy it.
Yeah, sure. That would be a good one for you. You know, another thing I think that came interesting from this whole Zaros quest is that we did get to see what the next plans were, and Zaros does essentially recapture his role as a ruler in this with his followers, you know, going out to do various things after this. Mm-hmm. You know, he assigns Char to look after Sliske. Next with keeping Sliske's god contest in check, and Ezinandra with locating the Elder Halls on Keelanor, which is going to be a very, very interesting thing. So that's why this quest was important, is that, you know, it brought a central figure to the god storyline that is able to be anchored down, and we don't have gods that are essentially squabbling with each other anymore. There's a central power to exert some force and show the way things ought to go in this quest.
Mm. Well, also, they also started to have a little, like, making alliances with everything else. You'll notice that a little bit during the little quest where all the gods kind of came together right before Bandos and Armadale fought each other.
Yeah. All right. And one final thing on Fate of the Gods for me. The lore crystals. These lore crystals basically allow you to learn a whole bunch about Zaros, a whole bunch about Saren, and there's more lore crystals in Prifinas. So that is why Fate of the Gods is the third and final Keystone update in 2014. Lore crystals, lore.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, anything else on Fate of the Gods before we move on to other updates?
Pick the guy you want to follow, watch your back with Zaros, and all hail Anubis.
Okie dokie. Now some other updates of 2014. I think combat played a major role in 2014, didn't it? But it wasn't a keystone.
Mm-hmm.
This includes things like revolutions, special attacks, legacy mode, the return of 138, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Okay. Oh, legacy mode, stupid. Momentum, stupid. Revolution, I keep saying that. Revolution was good. I like Revolution. It made it so that, you know, you can AFK train a little bit more. Which is, for me, it was kind of nice. What's the other thing?
Special attacks.
To be honest, I'm using chaotic weapons. I don't have any special attacks. And considering it has to be threshold or whatever it is, it's not as useful as it was in legacy mode. Because you still have to build up your adrenaline, which is not very fun.
Okay. You know, Revolution I was initially opposed to. I didn't think combat, you know, could go that further back and still maintain an EOC type feel, and it did. So I'm happy with the way Revolution turned out. I'm in the same camp as you about special attacks. Why use special attacks when we got abilities? It just doesn't make sense to do it. Thresholds do more damage than special attacks do. Granted, yes, special attacks are nice to have for their nostalgia and, you know, maybe if you're using legacy mode. Legacy mode, yeah, okay. I don't use it. I only used it once or twice when it first came out. Remember those tests we did in the God Wars where we basically found out that legacy mode combined with revolution is pretty much the same speed, unless you're fighting something very large.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all kind of tried to debunk the fact that, we came in hoping or kind of anticipating that folk going manual was faster, but the data didn't lie. They're all relatively the same thing.
Yeah, the only time full manual is faster is if you're fighting something that uses a lot of special attacks on its own or is lots of HP.
Or you really killed something already and you're, you know, saving up the adrenaline and then you want to do that. But then again, when we tried it, it wasn't that huge, big of a difference either.
Yeah. And, you know, 138 versus 200, we talked about this in Power to the Players. We're both fan of 200. I think the biggest problem with the 200 system was that you couldn't tell whether someone was magic, ranged, or melee based, and still you can't do that with 138. I proposed putting a little icon next to the person's name and having combat levels change based on the type of equipment they're wielding, but 138 it is.
Mm-hmm.
Which I mean, is okay. It's not back to the old dumb 138, and yes, I'm calling the old 138 dumb because it gave a greater role to magic, or to melee, I'm sorry, whereas this one's been fully balanced out, which I think is good. So, yeah. That's combat improvements of the year. You know, this really didn't matter that much for us, but I bet there are some people out there who did make a return to the game on the release of Revolution or Legacy Mode or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this is here as an important update of 2014. Anything else on combat, my friend?
Combat. I guess we could really still use some work. We really need more skills and put into for each one so we can, you know, do more. I kind of feel that it's still lacking.
All right, I'll agree with you on that. Sounds good.
Especially range. Range really needs like five or at least five new skills.
And magic as well.
Yeah, magic too.
Okay. There was also another quest this year called One of a Kind, in which we met the Dragonkin. I mean, this quest was nice, I think, after the whole, you know, burning down of Edgeville, and we did get the kind of sense that the Dragonkin are up to something, and they might play a role in the god conflict, maybe, and we better be careful with them. You know, it kind of felt like that Star Trek episode where the Dominion was first found out, and it's like, oh, don't set foot in the Gamma Quadrant again, or you're going to get burnt to a crisp. I kind of feel that's like what the Dragonkin told us, is that if we, you know, aren't you know, fully up to speed, and if we cause problems for them, that'll happen. But luckily, the ones we met were nice.
And One of a Kind. I don't know. They capture one of the dragons, right? Dragonkin during the Fate of the Gods little quest. So we have one of them. Well, it has. She has. He has one. Has one of them in prison, but I don't see the Dragonkin as that powerful. While they're, you know, dangerous in themselves, I think we can handle them.
Yeah, and I mean, I do think that all three of these storylines—the Elder Gods, the Dragonkin, and the gods themselves—will eventually tie into one somehow. It's just a matter of when this will happen. Maybe not soon, but eventually. Another thing I liked about One of a Kind is that we got to revisit those old ancient statues around the world that are facing somewhere. Outside Sears Village, Tower of Life, the Fishing Guild, and the Brimhaven House Portal.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I thought it was cool, but that's
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, and I mean, we also got access to Celestial Dragons, and that's why this update is not a Keystone update, is because, you know, yeah, it was good, but it didn't really, you know, provide as much lore or as much of an impact as Fate of the Gods did in 2014. Because in Fate of the Gods, for crying out loud, we got the measure, something that allows us to put this thing down and access Elder fragments. So with the measure, we essentially learned where the Elder Gods were in Fate of the Gods.
They're all sleeping.
Yeah, and the measure itself is an ancient artifact, or an Elder artifact, pardon me. So that is why Fate of the Gods is a Keystone update, and One of a Kind is just, you know, a normal, good update of 2014.
Okay.
Anything else on One of a Kind for you?
No, nothing really. Very little. Nothing.
All right. Bank presets and drag and drop.
Bank preset was very nice. Drag and drop, okay, decent. I think bank preset was the best one.
Yeah, and I mean, this is something people wanted for so long. It made so many things that much easier to do, you know, rune crafting, making overload potions, that sort of thing. Not only can you set up presets for, you know, combat and, you know, farming, but you can set them up for doing herb lore and whatnot. So at the end of the day, bank presets are a really great thing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, me and you were kind of debating if I should actually buy some. We were also thinking of with the bank preset, we're kind of happy we got some of the bank boosters. That was actually kind of nice.
Yeah, they did allow us to purchase more bank boosters, so that's good.
So that's kind of where my premier money is kind of having going into.
All right.
But I like the preset because I can just make everything at once and then just be done with it. Right now, I use it primarily for dungeoneering because I usually tend to forget to bring the aura, so now I have no excuse. I press the button, everything's banked in, all my stuff is up, and I'm ready to go. And the other thing is I have all my other outfits that I can wear for magic, melee, or range. So I'm happy with it.
Very good. All right. The Mighty Fall.
The Mighty Fall.
Yeah, this was the update in which we dealt with the aftermath of the death of Bandos. We basically saw that Zanuck is going to go home and die a peaceful death.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to confront Yelps. Which, you know, could have killed some people when you think about it. Because, well, basically Yelps has the ability to do very interesting combat things and can actually pose a player. Or pose a threat to players.
Right. And, you know, we kind of hoped that he would have an easy retirement, but like player said, nope, let's kill him. What?
Yep.
Okay. Y'all want to kill him. I ain't cleaning up the blood.
I sent him into retirement. How about you?
I think I said let him go peacefully. I can't remember what I put. But yeah. I didn't want to kill him. I said, no, let him go.
Yeah. And you know, the whole idea behind this quest was figuring out what the goblins are to do now that Bandos is dead. And we did resolve that, nice and quickly, actually. And we also got to fight in Zanuck's place because, you know, she was not able to fight. And if she did, well, she would have died right away. So that was our job. Just continuing off with Zanuck, one of the, I think, the nicest creatures ever made in RuneScape. You know, you can have nice and then you can have genuinely not nice. Like Zanuck, it would be a nice person if, you know, she was a human being.
Yeah. Goblins have no souls.
We don't know that.
Okay.
Alrighty. And at the end of the day, we said goodbye to Zanuck. And, well, it remains to be seen if she'll continue to live or whether or not she will actually continue getting sick and die. But that might be revealed later, but I think they tied Zanuck's storyline off pretty nicely.
Yeah.
Because she went home to the Goblin World of Ubisec.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right. That's a mighty fall. Not much to say on that one, but definitely important, seeing as it wrapped up Zanuck's storyline. Mm-hmm. Now, the next thing that I wanted to talk about was Broken Home. This was the quest that came out around Halloween. You have not done this yet.
Unfortunately, I have not. I told myself I was going to do it, but I just haven't had the time.
And the whole point of this quest was it relied on atmospheric conditioning and audio to really create the mood of a scary type of quest. And if you were doing this quest and you weren't exactly aware of what was coming, I'm pretty sure that, you know, it might give you a bit of a fright. But with that being said, nobody I know jumped as much as the J-Mods did in their behind-the-scenes video. So with that being said, I was a little bit underwhelmed. I was expecting it to be horror on the level of, you know, The Grudge or The Ring or something like that.
Bossikin? Or Bossikin?
What?
Don't you remember?
Oh, the Bonnikins. Yes, that would have been acceptable. Tell the story once more for old time's sake.
Oh, me and Shane. Star Trek Online just became free to play, so Shane kind of asked me to join him, so I did. And when I got on there, we decided to do a little. There was a quest that we were doing that was released around Halloween, and they were supposed to be testing out lighting kind of programs. And as we're going through to the quest, it's kind of dark, but we didn't think much of it until we started hearing voices. I was like, huh? Shane, do you hear that? Yeah. Okay, good. So it's not just me. So something was going on. It was actually quite interesting. It wasn't scary, but it was very much a what the heck is going on moment.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to know more about that, please do send me a PM on the forums, and I'll give you all the details about how you can access that. But yeah, it would have been nice if Broken Home did go in that kind of direction. Unfortunately, it did not become as scary or as surprising as that. So I'll just say that. The reason Broken Home is here, it's here for two reasons. One, it continues on the path of using atmospheric effects and graphics and sound and lighting to show you where to go in a quest rather than dialogue. That's reason one. And reason two is it's Jagex's first replayable quest in game mm-hmm. that you can replay for lamps. So that's why Broken Home is here.
Mm. Okay. What's next?
We got the Master Skill Capes, basically. Cosmetic skill
version.
Capes. Yep. Level 120 capes. Even though we don't go to 120 officially. Some of us are still on the fence about that. Whether it's a good idea to actually add fake 120s or not, but we shall see. It did put me on the path of going for 120 farming.
Yeah, it did. I remember you've been talking about that for a while. And I wish you best of luck in your adventure.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And, you know, there's already lots of these around. And, you know, I think that this is one of the better things to come from Power to Players this year, Player Power, because, you know, this is something that was wanted by a bunch of people, and, you know, without putting it to a poll, I don't think Jagex could have gauged the true support that it had. So, ultimately, having this in a poll allowed Jagex to say, who wants this, and there we go. Oh, we actually have enough to make it so.
Hmm. Okay.
So, Master Skill Capes, definitely a good thing. Have increased the way people train their skills. Granted, whether or not that's a good thing, I don't know, seeing as people just train now to, you know, 104 million XP, even though there's no real markers along the way aside from 50 million and 100 million. But I guess if people mm-hmm. like their skills and want to do that, might as well.
Right. Yeah, I'm only 120. I'm going for engineering, and that's about it. And I'm like, I got to 99 fishing. I'm done with 99 fishing. I'm happy with 99 fishing. Not doing that anymore.
And that's a real 120 as well, engineering. So you are granted, you know, the ability to do that.
Thanks.
And I think you wanted to talk about player-owned ports in this segment.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy with player-owned ports. It really did get me a lot of 99s. I mean, fire making, I basically got from player... No, what's player-owned ports? I got, let's see, 99 prayer from it, Slayer, leveled up Hunter quite a bit. Thieving, I leveled up quite a lot. Got all my armors from it. And, you know, it's one of those things, it is very much a you do once or twice a day and you're done with it. And, you know, the rewards are nice for the amount of time you spent. And hopefully, as you level up, things will get better. And when you're unhappy with your crew, I like the ability to fire people, Shane. You know that? I'm not getting good service. I like to fire people. Like, hey, you suck. Get out. No qualms about it. I just fire them and go.
All right. And, of course, I assume you're talking about primarily the player-owned ports expansion that came in January of 2014, right. Expanding to new regions and, you know, bringing in the necklace, ranged weapons, and ring. I'm sorry, cape. But.
Right, and then other thing that I also got from it was, what's that other little thing? I got all those... all the little goodies that come with it, all the new armor. I need to make more scrimshaws, though. I have tons of bones that I really need to use up. And I will truly admit, I was so surprised when I'm going through the captain's availability that wants to get hired. And I saw one for 25,000 chimes. Like, huh? There's one for that? I didn't know that. And I looked at this like, holy cow, you're awesome. Who can I fire now? It's like, let's see. Who sucks? Who sucks? You suck. You're fired. Next, you're in. Sweet.
Alrighty. So there's your joy from player-owned ports. And we are having another ports expansion in the new year to expand out to more skills as voted to by the players. So it should be very interesting to see where we go from that. And as I mentioned on last week's show, I finally completed my Sea Singer set. So at this point, it's just getting ready for the next set of voyages.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. What else? Anything else with that one? No, player houses I've been pretty happy with.
Alrighty. Now we're just going to run over some updates that we feel deserve an honorable mention. Only going to say a couple of sentences about each of these. Drop table improvements. Lots of updates this year, you know, made big changes and beautiful changes and whatnot. But there are definitely some updates like these ones, drop table changes that turned NPCs like Dark Beasts and Demons and whatnot into things that are actually worth fighting. You don't need to cringe at when you're getting steel axes or steel hatchets from them. So definitely good on the drop table improvements.
Mm-hmm. Shadow over Ashdale, a new little mini side where that's kind of like new tutorial island.
Yeah. And the reason this is here is because it shows new players how to quest. It shows players how to boss, albeit with a very simple boss mechanic, and it was the first quest that used atmospheric effects and lighting to show you where to go rather than dialogue. So I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We have Royal Rhinos and the Charity Effect events that happened this year, which it went well, and you know it really showed that we are willing to donate to a good cause or spend all the money that we have no idea what to do or to use with.
Yeah, and I mean, Royal Rhinos and the Well of Goodwill, over $100,000 donated this year, you know, just in terms of the Well of Goodwill. So I really got to commend Jagex for putting such a mechanic as this into the game. I hope we'll see more of this in 2015, both, you know, through the Well of Goodwill and targeted efforts. Not only the Royal Rhinos, but the 24-hour Game Blast stream for special effect and whatnot. So a superb job all around on this over the entire year.
High five. Okay, rune value improvements. That's kind of yours.
Yeah, basically with this one made runes actually worth rune crafting, standard runes worth rune crafting. Basically catapulted the price of a fire rune up from like, 9 GP all the way up to 60 GP currently. So there are reasons to craft fire runes now.
Hmm.
Like if you look at the price graph for these fire runes, they just shoot straight up. And, you know, the thing is that I only have 500 fire runes left in my inventory, or my bank, rather, because of this. So definitely a great update this year.
Mm. Okay. Let's see. We got that one. Character name cleanup, which is kind of nice. It got rid of a lot of names that we were unable to use because they were not ever used before.
Yeah, I was going to try and get Shane, but decided not to.
What's funny is I remember there was a time you asked me to keep an eye on it.
Yep. But it was freed and then, well, missed it. Oh, well.
Really? You missed it?
Yeah, I missed it.
That sucks.
But at the same time, I didn't want to do that because, well, I am known for who I am. And what's going to happen to the 12088, right?
Well, I still have a cat named that for you.
Oh, God.
What? My Hellcat. Yeah. It is named after y'all.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah, for those who don't know, if you get a Hellcat, you can name it to whatever you like. I named my cat to M. Shane because I couldn't fit McShane. I named it M. Shane 12088 or something similar like that.
Yeah. So,
Shane, be proud. I named a cat after you. That doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah, an overgrown Hellcat. Thanks.
Naturally, it's a very fit Hellcat.
Okay. XP for PvP in Soul Wars, Castle Wars, and the Wilderness. You like this one.
Right. So with this one, what it allowed it was made Soul Wars come back alive a little bit more, because before, if you weren't PvPing, there was no way you were ever going to get experience from killing other people as kill monsters, which really ruined what the point of the thing was, because it was to level up, have some fun, and kill people. And they reintroduced it and, you know, made people kind of happy again. So I'm happy with the update. Made Soul Wars worth doing again, or doing more, I would say.
Okie dokes. Dungeoneering.
Oh, yeah. We had a little Dungeoneering update earlier in this year, and I was really happy with it. They made a lot of little tweaks over the years of Dungeoneering, mostly the gate stones. You can left click on them instead of right click on them, which is for me, it's very, very nice. The Dungeoneering aura for me, I'm very happy with it because I can get two of them, two gate stones now. What's the other thing? Some of the new rewards, like the Charm Imp, very useful for me. Well, back when I was training summoning and all that stuff. So yeah, I was happy. Really, I was happy with it. One little thing is we had that quest earlier in the year where there was a kind of, we met the, I can't remember what dragon it was. The dragon was in Dungeoneering. We all had to go in there and try to help it free it and all that.
That was one of the kind.
Oh, right. There you go. I was wondering if that was the same one or not. But anyway, with that one, we kind of delved into the lore of Dungeoneering, and we also went and showed. We also showed that, you know, the decisions we make was going to have an effect in the real game later on down the road. So I remember the dragon. Either we kill him or let him go or go be experimented on. I said, be experimented on because it may help your species and I will protect you.
All right. That's a bit of a throwback to one of the kind there, but that's okay.
I was happy with it. I liked the Dungeoneering update. You know that.
All right. And the final honorable mention this year is the player examine system. So you can right-click on players, examine, view their stats, see what they're wearing, and see a little personal message. So I definitely like that.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's a little more, people need to do it more, but it makes Dungeoneering a little bit somewhat better if you're the leader. Because you can see how they are.
All right. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And just say turn private off and whoop, off we go.
Actually, my favorite thing is my little favorite thing was the whole found out later today that if you want people who want people in a certain Dungeoneering level, you set the floor to that level so those who are under it cannot get to it.
Oh, they can't join. And then you change the floor later according to what you want to do, right?
Huh?
Like you'll change the floor depending.
Right, so let's say I wanted people at level 100. I make myself to level 401, so only people who are 100 or 100 or whatever can join, and I can only invite those. Then I change it back to whatever floor I wanted to do.
Okay, good. And now some updates that could use some work. Updates that came out in 2014. We're going to be brief here because we're already at an hour in. But these updates could use some work and some tender love and care, TLC. Alrighty. Heist.
It's not dead on arrival, but it is pretty much dead. You need people to join you, but there's no people to join you.
Yeah, and I mean, Heist is not as popular as Castle Wars or Soul Wars or Pest Control, even, so that contributes to the problem. Granted, yes, it's an interesting game mechanic, thieving, a thieving mini game, and you know, it would just be really nice if more people would play it and if the rewards would be such that people actually want to go there and play it. You know, make it combat focused if need be, but more people need to play this mini game. Cabbage Face Punch Bonanza, what turned into the spring update and was left in game as another little mini game. You know, this thing was damn annoying when it was the spring update, and I can see why people don't want to play it nowadays. I'm sorry. It was fun for maybe 10 minutes, and then after that, it just got really dull. Basically. It's basically a RuneScape version of Dodgeball with hazards, now that I think about it.
Okay.
So I'd like to see some work done on this, but I don't know how they could do it. Maybe it ties in with the next one, the grouping system. Remember how much promise we thought that thing would have?
No, not really. I kind of figured this thing would be junk, and I was right.
I mean, yeah, they made some changes to the grouping system as a whole, but at the end of the day, the grouping system really didn't deliver what it was hoped to. You know, my hope was that you'd be able to, you know, just put together a group and say, okay, here we go. We're going to go off and play Castle Wars. We're all going to end up there and we're going to have a fun time. But it didn't turn out like that. Same thing would be good for Heist or Cabbage Face Punch, but sadly not the way it works. I wonder if they'll ever make it so that, you know, like, yeah, they made it so that it actually works, but that make it so more people are interested in it.
The issue with the grouping system is they lack custom ability, and you're still having, and at the time when it was released, you were going to a party with the group and the leader, one a couple guys were offline. Well, that does not help. If they're offline, can't do anything anyway.
Yeah, thankfully they fixed that part. And you know, after how I think it was a month and a half that they took that update to come out, the fix to it. By that point, I think people just gave up on it. And I mean, even after when it was still broken, like a week in, it was hard to get something going with it. So would be nice to have this looked at in 2015. The turnaround to the Halloween update. Remember how we were going to be banishing spiders with a vacuum cleaner? As a
Instead,
result
we
of the player
became
poll?
Ghostbusters. Okay.
Exactly. You know, this is a classic case this year of where the polling system did not work and what Jagex came up with was indeed better. Definitely one of the best Halloween updates ever, in my opinion. And it kind of shows, you know, that Jagex came up with this rather than having the players do it. So I'm happy to see that, you know, this was caught in the amount of time, even though it did take a poll to say that, yes, look into something else, please, you know, because people were saying, I don't mind, I don't mind. There were a good 3 polls where people said they don't mind. So happy to see that was turned around in time.
Okay.
And the last one.
The last one is the global announcements. While it's nice to have people know that, oh, someone got 99. I find that more annoying than it should be. And for me, I would like the announcements to be able, if just in case, just in case, like, oh, we're having Sinkhole event is coming up soon because there's that announcement that shows up if it's almost done, almost ready. But because most people turn it off because I don't want to be bombarded with so and so got an item, so and so it's almost got 99, so and so, and I think for me, I wish I could customize so it would be a split between the two.
Right, so you could basically choose what comes through, right? Yeah, I agree with you there, because right now it's either on or off, and there's just way too much that comes through. I mean, people getting 50 mil in a skill, okay, I don't know you, but that's fine. People getting Torva gloves drop, okay, interesting. The ones I do want to see is when the Iron Man characters die, like the guy who recently died from provoking bees.
Pokey pokey.
So, yep, I agree. So yeah, there's the updates that could use some work, and who knows, maybe we'll see them come like that in 2015. Alrighty. Well, that's it for the year in review of RS. We do have a bit of a rundown as to what happened with lore, just in case you guys missed it in any of this, but here we go. So, of course, we start out the year, Bandos is dead. That's fairly obvious. It was quite the epic scene, actually, when he got his head smashed in. We also learned more and ultimately met the Dragonkin. They aren't as bad as they seem, and definitely has some very interesting prospects going forward with this. But at the same time, we don't want to piss them off. Zaros also returned, and as we know, we learned more about his origins, Saren, and a sneak peek at what will come with the Elder Gods. And, you know, there were, of course, other things as well. Sliske and learning at what he's up to and the other gods, and it set this storyline up for a great point to jump off into the future, so I'm very much looking forward to that storyline. We dealt with the ramifications of the death of Bandos and ultimately got to decide the fate of Yelps, which I sent off into
Yelps.
retirement.
Don't think he went into retirement though. Well, we
Yeah,
had to
lots of
fight him
people.
once before we did.
Yeah, lots of people
Sadly.
probably killed him. Lots probably did. The longest running storyline in RuneScape came to a close. The Plague City storyline drew to the close with Plague's End, and that, as we said, was the quest you and I have been waiting for so many years. So many years. And of course, through that, we had the release of Prifteenus, and what was the biggest update, the most important update ever in RuneScape, in my opinion. And we learned, of course, more about the Elven clans. So, Plague's End, Prifteenus, definitely up there. And so much lore came in with that. Such a spectacular update of 2014. We also got access to a huge treasure trove of lore pertaining to the God of the Elves, Saren herself, through the various lore crystals in Prifteenus and on Frenniscay. So, that was very interesting. Anybody who has completed both those quests and has all the crystals has undoubtedly unlocked the Lorehound title. And finally, we began down the path of uncovering just what the Elder Gods are and what their plans may ultimately be for the world of Gilinar. And that's where we leave off, ready to move into 2015. Tons of new stories ahead. And there's your RuneScape year in review for 2014. We look ahead to what is coming in 2015 with great excitement. And with that being said, I would like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to everyone, all of my listeners, and happy holidays to all of you as well.
And with that being said, we're going to close out this episode with a special reading of The Night Before Christmas, courtesy of RSBNB's very own Uncle Dano.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Storytime with Uncle Dano. I'm very honored to have been asked to read to you today a very special Christmas story. 'Twas the night before Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what, to my wondering eye, should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." Godspeed, and a very Merry Christmas to all of you from my house to yours. Sincerely, Uncle Dano.